Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Patty Lavera. She's Assistant Director of the group Food and Water Watch, and we've invited Patty here to talk about a disturbing law just passed by the U.S. House of Representatives. Patty, thank you for making time to come on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And before we talk about this bill that got passed in the U.S. House as it affects food labeling, tell our listeners just a little bit about the work you do there at Food and Water Watch.
So we're a national nonprofit advocacy group, and we work on issues ranging from things like food labels and what we get to know about our food to how we manage, our common resources like water and our food system and making sure that we don't do stupid things like go look for energy through fracking and ways like that hurt the environment and our water supply.
Okay. Well, thank you. And, yeah, as I said, the reason we wanted to get you here this evening was to talk about the U.S. House of Representatives' passage of a bill on July 23rd called the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, which would ban states from requiring the labeling of foods containing genetically engineered ingredients, GMOs. Patty, tell us about the effect this bill would have on states like Vermont, Maine, and Connecticut that have passed laws that do now or will require eventually food corporations to label genetically modified organisms that are in the food chain.
Yeah, so that's the right three that you listed. So far, after a couple of solid years of really good activism at the state level, the grassroots level, Connecticut, Maine and Vermont have all passed laws out of their legislature that would eventually require GMO foods to be labeled. Connecticut and Maine had kind of a waiting period where they needed other states to pass it as well. Vermont's law is set to go into effect about halfway through next year in 2016, so that is coming. That law has an effective date that's coming would be the first place in the country where it would be mandatory. Mandatory labeling would be required. So not surprisingly, the biotechnology industry, Monsanto and DuPont and the guys who make these GMO seeds and the grocery manufacturers, they don't like being regulated at all. They really don't like being regulated in terms of having to disclose things about food production that they don't want to. So when states started to respond to the grassroots and to respond to their citizens by requiring labeling, these big industry players went to Washington and they went to Congress, and so they did. They did a lot of lobbying, they have thrown their weight around, and they have convinced the House to pass a bill that would block those state laws, that would say this is a federal job, it's not for the states to do. But the good news is there is no bill yet in the Senate, and so, lots of groups, including Food and Water Watch, were really focused on making sure we don't see this bad legislation move through the Senate.
Well, I wanted to ask you about parts of this bill. Now, there was something in the bill called a voluntary federal GMO labeling standard. What does that mean in terms of, any kind of alternative to the mandating of labeling of GMO foods that were in these other states' bills?
Right. So that's kind of window dressing on a really ugly window. We have the ability of companies, they can voluntarily give us GMO labeling now. They're not doing it. So that doesn't change the status quo. So right now, if a company really, really, really thought that their customers deserve to know they're using GMOs, there's nothing stopping them from putting it on the label except themselves. They choose not to do it under this voluntary scheme, which is why we've had all this effort over the last couple of years to require this labeling, to make it mandatory, because it's really the only way we're going to get this information is if it's required. So the pieces in there about, voluntary, there was a piece in the bill about setting up a system at the USDA to figure out the rules for a non-GMO label. It's really all window dressing around this core issue of the federal government blocking the states from doing something that their citizens want them to do.
Now, Patty, I wondered if you'd address some of the issues that I hadn't thought about immediately, but what is the effect of this bill that potentially could ban states from mandating the labeling of GMO foods and prohibit a county or a state from the agriculture of GMO crops? And I'm thinking about the issue of organic farmers who don't want some of these GMO crops and their seeds coming into their land and really contaminating the organic foods that they're trying to grow. I'm not sure I have all the details of this issue, firmly grasped here, but maybe you can speak to some of the things that are of concern that are another element of this bill.
Right, absolutely. So it's not just that this bill would stop states from requiring labeling through a state law that would say you're going to label foods sold in this state. There's some local governments. There's a couple of counties, and recently in Oregon have passed some restrictions. Years ago, some counties in California passed restrictions on going GMOs. Some local governments in Hawaii passed some restrictions on, disclosure about spraying chemicals that you use when you grow GMO crops. So we have seen some things happen at the local government level related to GMOs, related to this new type of crop, that we didn't have 20 years ago. And this bill not only would block states from requiring labeling, we read it, lots of other folks are reading it as giving the federal government the ability to shut down those kind of local government initiatives that may have been passed through a ballot or, through a local county council or something like that, that restricts, cultivation or some other practice related to GMOs. So it's just one more kind of outrageous attempt to stop, the process of government from working on the local level where it has tended to work a little better, especially on these GMO issues.
Now, Patty, as I understand it, the vote for this bill in the U.S. House of Representatives was 275 to 150. It means a lot of Democrats and Republicans all voted for this bill. What kind of money is flowing to these candidates from the big agriculture food companies, as well as companies like Monsanto that specialize in genetic engineering?
Yeah, we're going to see some of that data when we report, from this time period that just happened with this vote. But what we do know is lots and lots of lobbying was going on. We all of us in D.C. that were down there doing our meetings, we were seeing folks from the other side doing their meetings too. We know that the same entities, the grocery manufacturers, the biotechnology companies like the Monsantos, they have spent, tens of millions of dollars in states where this has been either in the legislature or on the ballot. So we tallied some of it up last year, and we think that they've spent up, getting close to $100 million. I think we were well over $90 million in the last couple of years fighting state-level initiatives because they really, really, really don't want these bills to go through to change how they have to label their foods. And then they shifted their attention to D.C. So we're going to have to do that analysis when we get through some of the reporting. That'll happen. It's a little too early to know, but we know that they put a lot of effort into it, and we know the PR, the public relations war that they waged on this. There was just some really outrageous claims made about the impact that a basic label on a package of food would have on the price of food. That just didn't make any sense, but that didn't stop these companies from saying it over and over and over again that requiring this labeling would somehow dramatically increase all of our grocery bills, which just doesn't make any sense.
Patty Lovera is our guest this evening here on Counterpoint, here on WPKN in Bridgeport. She's Assistant Director of the group Food and Water Watch, and we're talking about the passage in the U.S. House of Representatives last week of something called the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act that would prohibit states from requiring the labeling of foods containing genetically engineered ingredients. And, Patty, I wanted to ask you a bit about the rationale by opponents of labeling, and that is people who oppose the labeling of genetically modified foods say that there is no scientific basis for differences between genetically modified and non-genetically modified foods, so that requiring a label doesn't make any sense. That's their argument, and I wondered if you would address that for our audience. Is there a scientifically based difference, and should that be, or is that a legitimate argument to make in the first place?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways to tackle that. That is something they say constantly. So when it comes to, how these foods are regulated, whether or not we disclose where they are in the food system, whether or not you have labeling, they act like they're exactly the same. When it comes for these seeds, genetically modified seeds to be sold, they think they're different enough to patent them and charge more for them and brand them as the latest, greatest new thing. So they want to have it both ways. They want to charge more for them and use a patent regime and differentiate them in that way. But when it comes time for us to eat them, they want to act like it's exactly the same as what we've been doing for hundreds of years, which it's not. This is not the kind of selective breeding we have always done to improve crops, you know, through agriculture. This is combining genetics of things that couldn't combine on their own without laboratory intervention. So it is different. And what we, you know, in terms of safety and the science, we don't have a regulatory system that's capable of assessing how these foods are different. You know, we're using company data that the FDA or the USDA doesn't ever, you know, repeat or you know, validate in any way, and they just look at it, and we're really dependent on these companies to say that these are safe to eat. So we don't have a safety net for telling people this stuff is safe to eat. The least we can do is tell people where they are in the food supply with labeling.
So just to be clear, are there any scientific studies out there, either in this country or in Europe or other places, that indicate that genetically modified foods cause any harm to health? Or has there not really been a long enough period when genetically modified foods have been consumed to really test accurately for those effects?
Well, that testing is not being done in this country because no one pays for that testing. So we do not have a regulatory system here that is setting up those studies, paying for those studies to really know. So the companies that want to sell them, they're supplying the safety data for approval. With the studies we do have that raise questions about health tend to come from outside the United States. So we have seen, you know, different animal studies that raise health questions, we need to do a lot more of it. We need to repeat it. We need to do it over longer terms to see if these things are safe to eat. And one big fight that's happening is trying to separate out the genetically engineered crop itself, you know, that kernel of corn or that soybean, from the chemicals that genetically engineered crops are engineered to be raised with. So the most common reason that crops are genetically engineered is so you can raise that crop with an herbicide called Roundup, which is a weed killer. If you sprayed that on the field of unengineered corn, you'd kill the weeds, you'd also kill the corn, right? Unless you engineer the corn to tolerate Roundup. So we know we're increasing the amounts of chemicals like Roundup that are used, you know, packaged with GMOs. So we need to be looking at the health effects of that increased use of those chemicals, and we don't have a good system for doing that. So an international branch of the World Health Organization that looks at cancer did just, you know, do an assessment of Roundup and say that it's a probable human carcinogen. And that should give us pause, right? This is the main mechanism for why they're genetically engineering crops, and they go hand in hand.
So the secondary effect is that these crops are often saturated with more pesticides, harmful and proven to be harmful to the human body, than crops that don't tolerate those large amounts of pesticides that are drenched on the food crops.
Right, and if it's not staying on the crop, it's ending up in the environment. And it's, you know, whether or not you're exposed through the food, you may be, you know, the broader public is being exposed through that environmental loading of that chemical, and that's a system a lot of folks don't want to support. It's hard to know where it is without labeling. And, you know, American food companies that don't want to provide this labeling here, that are fighting it, you know, in our state houses or in the Capitol here, they provide this labeling in many other countries around the world. There's 64 countries around the world that require this labeling. And, you know, American companies have figured out how to do it there. They just don't want to do it here.
Well, go into just a bit more detail there. In the European Union, for instance, which is, you know, a continent with an economy and standard of living similar to here in the United States, what is their policy on genetically modified foods, their labeling, or even their sale within the European Union?
So a lot of folks think that GMOs are officially, you know, entirely banned in the European Union, and they're actually not. And they're reevaluating their process right now. They're having a very hot debate there right now about how they're going to approve these crops, what's allowed to be cultivated there, what's allowed to be eaten there. But they do have labeling. And so they've had labeling for many, many years, and when things are sold there that contain it, they have to be labeled. Right now they're figuring out, as almost, you know, it's a parallel you know, conversation to what we're having about the role of the states and the federal government, they're having a conversation about the role of individual countries versus the role of the European Union in approving GMO crops. But they do have labeling, as do, you know, lots of other countries around the world, including, you know, really large economies that use GMOs like Brazil. They have figured out how to do this. Because it's pretty basic information to carry through the supply chain. You know that the seed is genetically engineered, and we're just asking that information carry through the supply chain to the end product.
We're speaking with Patty Lavera, Assistant Director of the group Food and Water Watch. We're talking about a U.S. House of Representatives bill passed last week that would prohibit states around the country from labeling genetically modified foods as such. Patty, tell us a bit about public opinion and why it appears that these food corporations that oppose genetically modified food labeling are apparently concerned that consumers won't buy their foods if they're labeled as GMO.
I mean, that's the main point that we hear from opponents of labeling is, oh, you know, if we put this on here, people aren't going to buy our food. They're selling this food around the world in countries that require labeling, so it's not clear that that is going to be the necessary, you know, the necessary impact of that. We think this is just a basic kind of building block of basic transparency is that you disclose this. This is different than something that traditionally was used to raise food, and we label lots of things in the food supply, and we've had to mandate it because companies don't give up this information on their own. We have to have federal laws that say you're going to list the ingredients in the order of the, you know, the weight in the food. We list nutrition facts because the law says so. We have country of origin on our food. For now, we're having a fight about that. You know, we have things like made from concentrate. There's lots of pieces of information that have been deemed, you know, by policymakers important enough to disclose, and we're just asking that, you know, the fact that it's a genetically modified ingredient be added to that list. But historically, food companies don't give up much information except their marketing words. That's really all they want to give up voluntarily. They've had to be forced, you know, to get lots of other things onto the food package that they now do with no problem.
What are the prospects that the U.S. Senate will take up a similar bill that to the one passed in the U.S. House of Representatives to prohibit the labeling of GMO foods? And if it were passed by the Republican-controlled House and Senate, is there any indication that President Obama would either sign or veto such legislation?
Yeah, these are the political questions we're going to be talking about in August. So there is not yet a bill in the Senate. So that's the first step. Someone has to introduce it. There's discussions supposedly happening, but they haven't figured it out yet. You know, historically, when he was campaigning for president, the president talked about we should label GMOs. And so Food and Water Watch and lots of other folks who work on this issue are going to try to hold him to that if we reach that point. If the Senate were to pass a bill and it's up to him to veto it, we're going to be calling on him to live up to that campaign promise. But right now, you know, what we're asking people to do is, depends how much longer they stay, but the Senate's only going to be in D.C. for another week or so, and then they're going to be home for August, and we need folks to be talking to them during that August recess saying, don't do this, you know, don't limit, especially if you're in a place like Connecticut where you have a state law that's eventually going to go into effect. You need to tell, you know, your members of the Senate from Connecticut, don't touch our state laws. Let us figure it out here.
All right. And Patty, what are the lessons we can learn, if any, from the labeling of foods that have been treated with radiation in the past? I know a lot of spices out there and some milk products have been radiated, so they have a longer shelf life. Something that I wouldn't particularly want to buy. And then there was the, what was it called, a Yodora, a Verdora, some kind of symbol that was placed on these foods that looked kind of innocuous. But is there any lessons we could learn from that whole process?
Well, yeah, I mean, so that's a good example of something that is required to be put on the label. So irradiating food is, you know, exposing it to a source of ionizing radiation for some reason to kill bacteria or extend the shelf life or something like that. So that wasn't done through making a new, you know, writing a new law, but it was done through rulemaking very early on when we started to deal with some of these new food technologies, and it came down in one category where it fell in the class of things that had to be labeled because it's considered an additive to the food. Lots of other things that came after that got put in a different category, got put in a category where they don't require labels. So a lot of folks think that the industry, you know, is gun shy after that irradiation experience, and they've pushed very, very hard in the political arena to not have other technologies end up having to get a required label like irradiation.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to go back to public opinion. What do we know about Americans' views of genetically modified foods? Do we know what they feel about the labeling laws that have been proposed in these three states and other states are considering?
Sure. So, you know, when you poll people about should these foods be labeled, it's consistently very, very high results, you know, 80s, over 90%. And that's held true over a bunch of years and after lots of debate about this. And it makes sense. I think people think, give me the information and I'll decide for myself. I might be afraid of this technology. I might like this technology, but I want to know where it is. It's a pretty American kind of perspective on things, right? You give me information and I'll decide for myself. So that's why the polling consistently, when you ask people, do you want these foods labeled, is consistently very, very high. And so there have been ballot initiatives on whether or not we should label these foods in a couple of states. We've seen ballot initiatives in four states now, and massive imbalance in spending. You know, ballot initiatives tend to be about who has more money for TV ads, right? And massive, you know, 8-1, 10-1 spending, you know, of the folks who were against labeling outspending the folks who wanted it. And still it would come in within a point or two. So nothing, these haven't passed on the ballot because of the mismatch in spending, but they've come incredibly close and way closer than the spending would let you think. So there is public support for this. That's why, you know, these three states have passed these bills already, and it's why it's so outrageous that the House is trying to shut that process down.
Well, in closing, Patty, what's the most effective things our listeners can do to get more information on this debate and get involved in it if they so choose?
So there's lots of groups working on this. It's kind of an all-hands-on-deck situation. So foodandwaterwatch.org, lots of other groups working on food issues. There's a campaign called justlabelit.org. You can go to those websites or their Facebook page, and there'll be lots of updates and, you know, places you can take an action and contact your member of Congress. But they will be home. They will be back in the district in August. So if you see a senator somewhere out and about at a town hall or something else, tell them not to do this. Tell them not to block the states from, you know, responding to their citizens and requiring this labeling.
Patty, thanks so much for spending time with us. I know you're on the road, so doubly happy you could be with us this evening. And leave our listeners with the web address for your group, Food and Water Watch, so they can get more information on this topic.
Sure. It's foodandwaterwatch.org.
Foodandwaterwatch.org. Have a great night, Patty, and thanks for spending time with us.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Patty Lavera, Assistant Director of the group Food and Water Watch, talking about GMO foods and the bill passed in the House of Representatives recently. It's called the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, which bans states from requiring the labeling of genetically modified foods. And primary support coming from conservatives and Republicans, a lot of money being spent by big agriculture and food companies, GMO, genetically engineered, focus corporations like Monsanto. And it's interesting. A lot of the philosophy of the Republican Party over the years has been states' rights. I mean, that was the argument for slavery, for God's sakes. And here these guys are saying, well, we can't have states labeling food. We can't let consumers know what they're eating. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, this doesn't even seem to be a left-right issue to me. This seems to be a common sense issue. Consumers should have the right to make decisions about what they're putting in their body. And this seems to be a very deliberate measure to prevent transparency. In fact, the nickname for this bill that I just mentioned here, we've been talking about with Patty, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, has been redubbed the Denying Americans the Right to Know or otherwise DARK Act, D-A-R-K, Denying Americans the Right to Know. So, even if you thought genetically modified foods were the greatest innovation since sliced bread, the fact is, why wouldn't you want people to have the right to know what they're eating and make the decision on their own? It's clearly driven by profit and, if you ask me, corruption.